Before we look at the word this morning, let me give you a few announcements. First of all, we have service tonight at 6:30, evening praise and discipleship. Study question for this evening: why did David have no fear when he faced Goliath, but fled for his life when he faced Absalom? We're discussing that tonight, talking about the command that Jesus gave us to fear God and not man. Afterglow following the service tonight, so I'll bring some snacks and some goodies, and we'll have a time of fellowship. Wednesday night is family night, a Bible study for the adults. We're talking about intercessory prayer, prayer that makes a difference. Youth service, they are studying a case for Christ, and encourage all the young people to come and build a strong case for Jesus Christ. And then kids club as well. Next Sunday, we'll be receiving new members. If you're interested, please see me for an application. I need to get that from you as soon as I can, if you've taken one. Why don't you get it into me today even. And then the date for the annual church meeting, February 1st. Hope that you can all be here. If you're a member, non-member, it's important, I think, to feel a part of the church, to come. Not only do you get a chance to vote if you're a member, but you get to hear the reports from all the various departments. And see what God is doing and see the vision that God has placed on the leaders' hearts. And then also that day will be the youth-sponsored spaghetti dinner. So between the service and the annual meeting will be the spaghetti dinner that the youth will put on. Donations will be accepted. And then there are these that Park Creek Ranch has put out on the back table, appearing at the Baldwin American Legion. Some bluegrass gospel music. The first one is Family Ties on February 13th. Make sure you take one of those, and we'll probably run out. We'll get some more copies made. You can keep those with you. Any other announcements? All right. Would you take your Bibles, please? Turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 8. Exodus, chapter 8. While you're turning there, I'd begin with a story. This morning, true story. First sign of change at Mount Pelee was detected in February 1902 when strong odors of sulfur were noticed in a nearby village and in North St. Pierre. On April 24th, a plume of black smoke rose from a crater and it rose to a height of 1,900 feet. The following day, a blanket of ash fell. Hikers who went up to Mount Pelee noticed a lake had formed in one of the craters of this volcano, and volcanic debris was feeding the lake with boiling water. On April 28th, there were ground rumblings and the vapor column rose higher. Flooding occurred on a nearby river. 2 days later, two more rivers also flooded. Trees and boulders were carried from the top of Mount Pelee. A steady stream of ash covered the nearby villages. Debris started to flow down the mountains towards St. Pierre. Late on May 2nd, the volcano produced earthquakes every 6 hours. Loud noises, a large pillar of black smoke, and a blanket of ash spread across the northern part of Martinique Island. On May 5th, the rim gave way on the crater, and boiling water rushed down. The hot water mixed with various debris generated a huge mud flow, which traveled at a speed of 50 miles per hour. The mud flow ran north of St. Pierre and continued to the sea. It spawned a 9-foot tsunami, which flooded the waterfront area of St. Pierre. Still, there were no evacuations ordered. Exodus chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, Go unto Pharaoh, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refusest to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, and into thy bedchamber, and upon thy bed, and into the house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thine ovens, and into thy kneading troughs. And the frogs shall come up both on thee, and upon thy people, and upon all thy servants. And the Lord spake unto Moses, say, Unto Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, "Entreat the Lord that they may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they might do sacrifice unto the Lord." And Moses said unto Pharaoh, "Glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only?" And he said, "Tomorrow." And he said, "Be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. And the frogs shall depart from thee and from thy house and from thy servants and from thy people. They shall remain in the river only." And Moses and Aaron went up from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, and out of the fields. And they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. May the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. I want to preach to you on the subject, One More Night with the Frogs. One More Night with the Frogs. Moses gives this promise of a plague of frogs. And we take it for granted that Pharaoh's answer was, "Yeah, right, you're bluffing. Go ahead. Let's see what you can do." And so up goes Moses' rod. Something like a freight train sails through the air. It can be heard all over the palace. Guards hitting the deck. What is that terrible noise? And then there is a croaking and a buzzing and the sound of little feet. Slippery, wet little feet all over the palace. Pharaoh evacuates the throne room. Moses and Aaron squash 10 frogs on their way down the palace steps. The work details have to stop because the frogs are all over the equipment. They are in the brick kiln. They are in the kneading troughs. They are in the bedrooms, the bathrooms, the living rooms. They jump out of the glove compartments of the chariots. They croak in the dresser drawers. They jump out of the ovens. They drop off the trees. People are slipping on smashed frogs all over the street, all over the sidewalks, up and down the hallways, through the corridors, and on the tennis courts. There is pandemonium everywhere. There are frogs everywhere that you go. Finally, Pharaoh is ready to meet the demands of Moses, so it appears. He said, "Bring Moses that he could stop this plague of frogs." And Moses said, "Great, good idea. When do you want me to get rid of these frogs?" Listen to Pharaoh's answer. "Tomorrow." Why not today? Why not right now? Why tomorrow? Why does he want one more night? Why does he want another night with the frogs? I mean, look at that Egyptian woman opening her oven. She screams, out jumps frogs. Here's an Egyptian man getting into his bed at night. He pulls down the covers. Frogs are his bed partners. Here are the Egyptian boys walking to school in the morning, squashing frogs between their toes like you would mud. I mean, there are frogs everywhere. A man puts on his pants, in his pocket, frogs. There are frogs in the houses. There are frogs in the palaces. There are frogs on the streets. There are frogs in the yard. There are frogs everywhere. And Pharaoh wants one more night with these conditions. Frogs by the millions. I mean, there was a pile of dead frogs mounting up like a mountain. The land begins to stink. And Pharaoh wants one more night. When the frogs are dying off, there are millions more that are jumping out of the rivers to take their place. These frogs, interestingly enough, were gods to the Egyptians. One of the gods that they worshipped were the frog god. And so they worshipped frogs, and God says, "You want your gods here. I'll give you your gods." And they could not kill these frogs because they were their gods. And so these frogs just began to mount up. And to make things worse, Janes and Jambres duplicate the trick and they make More frogs. I'm just what you needed. More frogs. And finally, they try to get rid of them, but they can't. They can't get rid of the frogs, and so they have to bring in Moses and have him get rid of the frogs. These frogs are like gods. And in a way, you know, as God sent Moses to deal with the frogs of the Egyptians, God the Father has sent Jesus Christ to deal with the frogs in our lives. God was standing by. He's just ready for Pharaoh to give the word, and he would get rid of those frogs that troubled the Egyptians, but they were not willing to ask. They wanted to spend another night with them. And you know, there are Christians like that too. The Lord is standing by. He is ready and willing to help us with the things that trouble us. He is willing to help us with the things that plague us, the troublesome frogs of our life. And he's just waiting for us to ask him to intervene. But often we are settled. We're satisfied with just one more night with these troubles, one more night with these plagues, one more night with these frogs. Why do we procrastinate? Why do we wait so long? Why do we say tomorrow when we should say today? Here's some things that have been said about procrastination. The procrastination support group meeting has been postponed. I have not yet begun to procrastinate. I always wanted to be a procrastinator, but never got around to it. If it weren't for the last minute, nothing would get done. Procrastinate now. I'll stop procrastinating tomorrow. I do my work at the same time each day, the last minute. Don Marquis said, procrastination is the art of keeping up with yesterday. Mark Twain said, never put off until tomorrow what you can do the day after tomorrow. And then someone said, you know you are getting old when it takes too much effort to procrastinate. A man was cleaning out the attic with his wife when he came across a claim ticket from the local shoe repair shop. The date stamped on the ticket showed it was over 11 years old. His wife asked, do you think the shoes will still be in the shop? Not likely, his wife said, but it's worth a try. The man drove to the shoe repair shop and with a straight face handed the ticket to the man behind the counter. The clerk looked at the ticket and said, just a minute, I'll have to go look for these. He disappeared to the back of the shop. 2 minutes later, the man called out, hey, here they are. No kidding, the man called back. That's terrific. Who would have thought they'd still be here after all this time? The clerk came back to the counter and said, they'll be ready on Thursday. God is asking, do you want me to get rid of the frogs? Pharaoh said, tomorrow. Tomorrow's soon enough. You can get rid of the frogs tomorrow. But the Holy Ghost says, today. He said, today is the day of salvation. He says, today is the day. Harden not your hearts. Think of it. Pharaoh said tomorrow. The Holy Ghost says today. We are famous for what we are going to do tomorrow. You preach to the sinner about his need for Christ. Tell him he needs to repent. And he says, you know, you're right. I really do need to receive Christ. My life is empty. My life is meaningless. It has no hope. It has no purpose. I'm riddled with guilt. The Holy Spirit convicts my heart. I know I should give my life to Christ. I know I should be saved. I know I should be born again. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it someday. You know, I've got my life to live first. I want to live for myself. I want to enjoy the things of this life first. And then someday, when it's convenient, at a more opportune time, then I'll give my heart, I'll give my life to Christ. What's he saying? He's saying, I want to live another night with the frogs. I want to live another night, another day with my sin and my guilt. Preach to the Christian about full surrender. He knows that he should surrender his life fully to God. He admits that he is bought with a price. He knows a consecrated, spirit-filled life is the only honest thing, is the only reasonable thing a Christian can give to God in light of what Jesus has done for him. So he plans to surrender. He plans to break with the world. He intends to become a soul winner and to speak to others about Jesus. But it's tomorrow. Always tomorrow. Give me one more night with the frogs. One more night with a defeated, wasted Christian life. Plead with the backslider to come back to God. They'll usually admit, "Well, preacher, I surely ought to do that. God knows I've had nothing but misery and grief since I turned my life on God. I'm fed up with this wretched life. I've had sickness, sorrow, trouble, and defeat since I got out of fellowship with the Lord. I'm through with it all. I'm coming back to God. I'm giving my life to Christ again." And you say, "Great, let's kneel right here and let's settle this thing here and now." And what does he often say? He says, "Oh, not now. I didn't mean that I was going to do it today. I mean, I'm going to do it someday. Someday I'm going to get right with God. Someday I'm going to fully surrender." What's he saying? He's saying, "I want one more night with carnal cravings. One more night with this compromising and carousing. One more night with a flag of loyalty drooping. One more night with the frogs." You know, there might be some here this morning that are plagued by frogs. There are things in your life you know you should get rid of. God has been dealing with you. God has been talking to you about these things. God is asking you to surrender these things to Him. There are things that He's just waiting to take from your life. Things that are bothersome to you. Things that plague you. Things that put you in bondage. He is just waiting for you to ask. But you're plagued by frogs. They cover every surface of your life. As I read through this, and I've read through this passage of Scripture numerous times, I saw that where the frogs were might have a lot of significance. The frogs were in the houses. Satan is attacking homes. He's attacking Christian homes like never before. Many of our Christian homes are filled with frogs. Things that we know we need to get rid of. Things that we know is hampering our relationship with our family. Our family is not where we want it to be. There's rebellion in the children. There's mocking going on. There's not the love that needs to be there. Could it be that there are frogs in your home today and God is just saying, "Call on me. Ask me. I want to get rid of the frogs in your house." But we go on one more day satisfied with living with the frogs. The frogs were also in the bedrooms. The beds are plagued by frogs. Many Christian marriages are in trouble. Christian marriages are in trouble like never before. And there are things that you know that you should do that would build your marriage and strengthen your marriage. And you say, "I'm going to do that one of these days." God is saying, "Why don't you do it now? Do it now. Start it today. Don't wait for another day. Don't wait any longer. Don't waste one more night with the frogs." And then they were in the workplaces. The workplaces were plagued by frogs. You're at work. You're being mistreated. You're miserable on your job. You know you don't have the right attitudes on your job that you need to. God is saying, "I want to change all that. Just come to me. I'll give you the right heart attitude. I'll put my nature in you. I'll let you take on my characteristics. Don't spend one more day on the job surrounded with the frogs." Today, before you leave this church, you're going to have to come to a decision. You'll either choose to cry out to God and be delivered from the frogs in your life, or you will spend one more night with those frogs. You'll have that choice this morning. Many people say, "I will deal with it today." There's others that will say, "I'll deal with it tomorrow." You know, Jesus had experience with three of these tomorrow men in Luke chapter 9. One fellow said, "Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." And that was a daring promise, wasn't it? "I'll go wherever you go. I'll follow you there." But Jesus said, "Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head." The man is heard from no more. He had the thought of sacrifice and privation, and so he refused. And so he said, "One more night with my sleep number bed." And he never did follow Jesus. Another man said to him, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, suffer me first." That was his trouble. Me first. That's where a lot of us get into trouble. We put ourselves first. Me first. "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." Now, there's nothing wrong with burying one's father if he's dead. But the point is that Jesus needs to be the center of our affection. And I have a feeling the father wasn't dead. So Jesus said to this man, let the dead bury their dead. Go back thou and preach the kingdom of God. And this man went back for one more night with the tombstones of this world. Never did follow Jesus. Only those who are willing to put God first, only them can he save. Only those who truly repent of their unbelief can be a follower, a disciple of Jesus. The third would-be disciple volunteered, Lord, I will follow thee, but. The but was his trouble. Commenting on this verse, Walter Hughes says, there are so many buts around the average church, you would think you were in a goat pen instead of a sheepfold. He said, every pastor has heard them. I would sing in the choir, but. I would come to church regularly, but. I would repent and be saved, but. You hear this from both saint and sinner, I will follow thee, but. So this man said, I will follow thee, but let me first. Here we go again, me first. That's the reason why millions are enslaved to Satan and to sin. How foolish to call Jesus Lord in one breath and plead for me in the next. Jesus knew his family better than the man did, evidently. He knew that if the crowd got hold of him, he would not carry out his decision. So Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I would like to suggest to you four reasons this morning. Four reasons why you dare not spend another night with the frogs. The first reason is this. The frogs may not leave tomorrow. They don't always, you know. The frogs don't always leave tomorrow. Charles E. Fuller was preaching on the old-fashioned revival hour. A Christian woman who had been unable to get her sinner husband to church had the program turned so high that he had to hear it. No matter where he was in the house, he had to hear this program. He became so enraged at the gospel that he finally picked up a kitchen chair and dashed it at the radio, breaking the radio into pieces. He silenced the voice of Brother Fuller temporarily, but he could not silence the voice of his conscience. And he could not silence God in his soul. Stopping the sermon didn't stop the misery in his heart. The frogs were still there. The frogs were still chirping their noises. He couldn't shake off the conviction. The man finally got saved, but then he had to buy a new radio. He would have been better off just to have surrendered his life to the Lord in the first place. The frogs don't always leave. The frogs don't always go. Think maybe tomorrow will be a better day. Maybe my problems will be better tomorrow. Things will be solved. I'll wait until tomorrow. The frogs don't always go. The second thing is that something worse may come in the place of frogs. Something worse might come in the place of frogs. It was true of Pharaoh. After the frogs came lice, flies, locusts, boils, fire, darkness, and finally the death of every firstborn in the Egyptian homes. Stark tragedy. The misery of the sinner. Pride keeps a man from surrendering to Christ in spite of the frogs that plague him. But the scripture says, one day the lofty looks of men shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down. The judgment of God will fall upon sin. Something worse than frogs will come. Don't mess with it. Don't mess with it. You could lose your very life in the process. Bill Rice told about this debutante who had a coming out party in Chicago. In the middle of the night, she and her drunken companions, wild for adventure, ended up at the zoo to play with the animals at 3 a.m. They began to tease the bears. This girl was waving her arm through the bars at a big old grizzly. The bear suddenly clamped down on her arm, hugged her to the bars as he began to chew the flesh from her hand and arm. By the time her drunken friends could help her and an ambulance had come, the bear had torn the flesh from her arm clear up to her shoulder. Her arm was amputated at the shoulder. Through life, she would carry an empty sleeve as a grim reminder that something worse came in the place of frogs. And she only lost an arm, might lose a life. Worse than that, could lose a soul for all of eternity. Third thing, you need to get rid of the frogs. You cannot spend one more night with the frogs because the frogs affect others. The frogs just aren't affecting your own life. The frogs affect a lot of people's lives. Pharaoh hardened his heart. He wouldn't let the people go. The frogs came. The frogs just didn't come in the palace. The frogs came in the homes of all the Egyptians. The frogs just didn't plague Pharaoh. They plagued all his people. You cannot sin and not have your sin affect other people. The question is, how much is your sin going to cost me? How much is your sin going to cost the rest of us? Sin is costly. Sin takes people further than they want to go and makes them pay more than they want to pay. You say, nobody's affected by my sin. Yes, there are. If nothing else, the people that love you and want God's best for your life, their heart is broken over your sin. Your sin does affect them. But your sin affects all of us. Think about your testimony to others. Think about your testimony for this church. Your sin does affect others. And you dare not spend one more night with the frogs because it's affecting everyone around you. And the fourth thing is, the last reason why you dare not spend one more night with the frogs is because tomorrow may never come. You say, I'll get rid of the frogs. God says, great. Today? No. Tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. But God knows that tomorrow may never come. The Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? The Bible says, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. The Holy Ghost says, today. How many of you saw, or at least heard, the story about that took place this week with the airplane landing in the Hudson River? I mean, that was a miracle that not a person was lost. Do you know that there have been other plane crashes in the water where everyone on the plane had died? But I think God had his hand on that pilot and that plane for some reason. But the truth of the matter is, there was a tomorrow for those passengers, but they were so close to not having a tomorrow. What is your life? It's even like a vapor. It's here for a while, and then it's gone. We never know when this life is going to be over. We don't know when we will breathe our last breath here, and our next breath will be in eternity. You might not have a chance tomorrow. Tomorrow might never come. You have heard this urgent appeal for you to trust Christ and be saved today. Let me urge you and plead with you. If you are here and you've not received Jesus as your Savior, please do that today. Surrender your heart to Christ today. Won't you decide even right now, even right this minute, that you will not spend one more night with the frogs of sin? Simply confess yourself as a lost sinner and ask God to forgive you, because He died for your sins on the cross. There was once a mighty eagle was seen to land on a carcass that was floating down a northern river during a bitterly cold time of winter. As the bird feasted on the flesh of the animal, the river was taking the eagle and the dead carcass steadily closer to a great falls. The eagle seems to pay no attention to the fact that danger was getting closer by the second. Apparently, the eagle knew that one powerful flap of his great wings, it could rise off the carcass at the last second and fly to safety. As the carcass finally reached the edge of the falls, the eagle spread its great wings and tried to fly away. However, because of the cold and the water, its talons had frozen fast to the dead animal. Try as it might, it could not lift itself free. In just a moment, both the dead animal and the screaming eagle plunged over the falls, and the eagle fell to its death, crushed by millions of tons of water. Don't delay. Don't delay putting off. Come to Christ. What happens is your heart gets cold. You know, the more and more you reject the opportunities to come to Christ, the more hardened your heart becomes, the colder your heart is. You look at Pharaoh. Pharaoh's heart continually got harder with each plague. With each denial of giving in to God and surrendering to the will of God, his heart became hard again. You say, I'll do it someday, I'll do it tomorrow. You might not have that opportunity. You might not even want that opportunity. I've read about men in history who went to great revivals and considered giving their life to Christ. But they said, I will do it at a more convenient time. I'll do it when I don't feel so pressured. And you know, God left them and they never ever, as far as we know, got right with God. Never did surrender. Don't delay because tomorrow might never come. When I left my hometown and I was planning to go to North Central Bible College, I had a friend who was a Baptist friend who was planning on going to Bethel College. We made our plans together and we said, we will meet at the fall. You know, even though we're on two different campuses, let's be friends. We'll get together. We'll meet in the fall. He never got there. He died that summer. You don't know if you will have the opportunity tomorrow. And that's why the Holy Spirit says you need to make things right with God today. You need to take advantage of every moment and every opportunity. On May 8th, Mount Pelée erupted at 7:50 a.m. A massive black cloud consisting of ash, rock, and hot gas rushed down the south slope at the speed of 100 miles per hour. It only took 1 minute for the cloud to blast through St. Pierre. The force of the blast knocked down cement walls and twisted metal grinders. The extreme heat caused bonfires and explosions. The ocean did not stop the cloud. At least 20 ships in the harbor capsized by the force of the wind or caught fire from the scorching heat. As news of the eruption spread to the world, scientists from France and the United States went to the island to study the effect of the volcano. According to the U.S. Geological Survey, the coastal town of St. Pierre, about 4 miles downslope to the south, was demolished and nearly 30,000 inhabitants were killed by an incandescent high-velocity ash flow and associated hot gases and volcanic dust. At the time of the eruption, the population of St. Pierre was approximately 30,000 people. It killed all but two. It killed all but two people. Today is a popular tourist destination with a population of 6,000 people. No evacuation was ever sounded. None was ever given. Despite all the signs that this volcano is going to erupt, nobody took it seriously enough. Nobody evacuated the area. You know, I would just want you to take the message today serious enough that you will get rid of the frogs in your life, that you will do it today, that you will not spend one more night, one more moment with the frogs. If you're here and you've not asked Jesus Christ into your heart to be your Savior, please do it today. I'm begging with you. I'm pleading with you. Do it today. Do not put it off. Today is the day of your salvation. Don't wait another minute. You might not have another chance. That would be the worst thing that could happen. The worst of all these things of why you dare not spend a night with the frogs is because tomorrow might not ever happen. Christian, you're here. God's been speaking to you. There are some frogs in your life. There are some habits. There are some activities. There are some things that God has been dealing with you. He's been asking you to come to a place of full surrender, to turn your life over to Him. Do it today. Don't spend one more moment. Quite honestly, you look kind of silly with the frogs jumping around in your life. You don't need those things. When you come to freedom in Christ and when you live according to His will, you'll wonder, why did I put up with the frogs for so long? There's somebody here today, you're backslidden. You were a Christian. You've been running from God. I tell you, the things that are happening in your life are happening so that God can get you to come back to Him. He's sending frogs there. But I got to warn you, if you don't stop now, something worse than frogs might come. Just ask Jonah. Something worse than frogs came. Jonah wouldn't go to Nineveh and preach. So God had him swallowed up by a whale. Until he said, okay, Lord, I'll go preach. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll do your will. Even though he didn't really want to, he did it. And he went out and preached, and Nineveh had a revival. I don't know what God wants to do with your life. There are some people here today, God might be calling you to be a preacher. But he knows that you got to get rid of the frogs first. Will you get rid of the frogs? There are some people here, God has been dealing with you. You need to start praying, reading your Bible on a regular basis. Say, yeah, I'm going to do that someday. You need to start doing it today. Not one more day with the frogs. Somebody might be here today. God has been speaking to you about water baptism. Yeah, that's one of those things. I want to do it someday. Why don't you come to me and say today and say, Pastor, I want to be baptized in water. Hold me to it. And the next opportunity you get, I want to be baptized. God may be speaking to you, some of you today about church membership. I want you to join that church there, and I want you to be a part of it. You say, I'm going to join the church. I'll do it someday. Why not do it today? People say, what's so important about church membership? Well, part of it is you get this sense of belonging. I think you get a greater feeling of belonging. This is your church. It's not just the church you attend. It's my church. And I can't explain it, but often I have talked with people, tried to counsel with people, and just haven't been able to get the wisdom that they need. But after they become a member of the church, and after that, it's like they say, I want you to be my pastor. I want you to, this to be my church. Something happens, and God gives me greater wisdom for them. I can't explain it, but it's just a part, I think, of coming together as a body. And so God might be calling you today to get rid of some frog. Maybe there's some habit in your life. It's like a frog. Don't spend one more night with that habit. But ask God, through the power of Jesus Christ, to come and deliver you from those frogs. Maybe there's some besetting sin in your life. It's like a weight. Paul says, lay aside the weights. Lay aside the besetting things, sins, the things that so easily entangle and entrap us. Today is the day to get rid of those frogs. Have your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Few moments. Let's sing I Surrender All. But I wonder, first of all, while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, is there anyone here that would say, Pastor, I've not yet received Jesus into my heart. I've not invited him to come in and take away my sins. But today I want to do that. I don't want to spend another night with the frogs. I don't want to spend another night with my sin. I'm asking God to come and take away my sin, to cleanse my life. Is that you? Could I just see your hand? Just raise it up and then down. I'd like to pray for you. Is there anyone here this morning? Pastor, I've not yet received Jesus, but I'd like to today. I'd like to today. Amen. I see that hand. Praise God. Thank you. Anyone else? This is the most important decision you'll ever make. Is there a Christian here? God has been speaking to you about full surrender. There's things that you've held back. Things that you've said, me first. Me first. I know that there are parts of my life that I need to surrender to Him today. And would you just raise your hand right now as a sign of surrender? Amen. 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 God bless you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. How many else? These might not even be sins. They might not be big things, but there are frogs there. There are things that are troubling you. Not necessarily even sins, but things that are troubling you, they're frogs. Frogs in your home, frogs in your bedroom, frogs in your workplace. But you want to ask God to get rid of those frogs today? Would you just slip your hand up and then down? Amen. Amen. Would you just repeat after me a prayer of salvation and surrender? Heavenly Father, just pray back to me. Heavenly Father, I confess my sin. I repent of my sins. I ask Jesus to forgive me and to cover my sins with His blood and to wash away my sins with His blood. I receive You into my heart and life, and I surrender my will, my plans, myself, fully and completely to You. And Jesus, would You deliver me from the frogs, the troublesome things in my life? In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. Let's sing a couple of verses of I Surrender All.